so be removed from me. So far, so deep, removed from me, and I'm finding when I'm talking to a mountain that I can't move. Trying hard to climb it, but it's no use.
Suggestion that if he's really, really good with that fly rod, maybe he can teach the rest of us how to get that.
I charge too much for
that. You charge too much. Amen. No, we just appreciate Brother T. it's him and his family, and you know, they moved here to be a part of us, and so we're just happy to have you here. And just want to just remind everybody to remember this, this April 26th and 27th, we'll be having special meetings here, and that'll be Saturday night at 6 p.m., and then Sunday, I'd like to start at 10 o'clock instead of 10:30. I want to kind of bump it up a little bit earlier. And then about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I think, if the sisters will let me know if that's enough time for us to do our meal and everything, I'd like to have the afternoon service on Sunday at 3 o'clock. So we're looking forward to that. It's 3 weeks from now. So just remember that. Amen. Mm-hmm. If your Bibles, let's go ahead and open to the book of Job. You know, we sung there a little while ago, these are the days of Elijah. How many believe that?
Amen.
Amen. I'm convinced of it. And so, you know, if we're in the days of Elijah, you know what that means? That means restoration.
Right.
That means God's restoration for God's people. But you know what else it means? It means that Ahab, the wicked government, is going to be dealt with. Mm-hmm. And it also means that Jezebel, a wicked religious system, will be dealt with.
Yep.
Amen. Right. So that's the hour we live in, and I rejoice in all of it, because Amen. We definitely have a world full of wicked government that needs to be dealt with. And so also we know the religious system that has deceived people throughout all the ages, God has brought to us the end time revelation to understand and know how that those things how Satan has done that, and how we can be overcomers to it. Amen.
Right.
And so we want to read there in Job chapter 38, verse 1 through 7. And I wouldn't want to be in this position that Job was in at this point, and he had spoken so many things, and the Lord finally, I guess, got tired of it, if I guess you could say that. And so here's the scripture said that, and the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." That's some serious questions that God was asking Job.
Yep.
Amen. Now, let's go to 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. Verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Just pray for a moment. Lord Jesus, how wonderful, Lord, it is to be here in this house today with your people and with this time, Lord, we just set aside for you. And so, Lord, we just know that all things are possible as we gather here, and we're looking to you, Lord, just to let your words fill our hearts, Lord. You have spoken it. It's been in the scriptures there that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, Lord, so that proceeds out of your mouth. And so today, Lord, we know that as you speak, Lord, is something we can live by. It's something that can give us strength and prosper us. And so we're asking this morning, Lord, that you would just let your word just come forward. Lord, no man can unfold it to your people. Only you can do that. And so, Lord, we surrender ourselves this morning, asking you to just use these lips of clay, that you would speak, and also, Lord, that you would cause to hear. And we ask in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord. Today I want to just title this, "The Real You."
There you go.
Amen. The Real You. don't suppose I'll cover anything new today. I don't know that you haven't already heard, but may the Lord just kind of put it together and make something that would be a blessing to you, the real you. You know, I years ago when I was a child, I remember there was a television show I had seen, and I had to look it up to see what the name of it was. And I believe, according to what I found, was there was a show called To Tell the Truth. Anybody remember that? To Tell the Truth? I see a couple of heads. And what I remember about it, I had to look it up and ask questions, but what it was they would have a person come in who was a real carpenter or a real whatever it was, and then there would be two other people, and they would be imitators. And they would bring them in, and they would all, you know, I ask, well, who are you? Well, I'm John Doe, and this, you know, and then the next guy, well, I'm John Doe, and now, you know, and the third one, well, I'm John Doe. And so you didn't know which one was the real one, right?
Yeah.
And they had a panel of people there, and I don't remember what all the format was, but I think they would ask them questions. The whole format of the entire game show or whatever it was for the panels to try and figure out which one was the real one,
right?
And at the end, when it come time to reveal, they would say something like, would the real Mr. John Doe stand up?
Yeah.
Right? How many remembers that? Anybody
yeah.
remember that? There's, okay,
yeah.
now, see, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay to admit that you've seen that, you know.
Telling a rape.
Now, if you watched it yesterday, that might be a different story. No, but anyway, and at the end, when they would say, well, would the real Mr. John Doe stand up? And all three of them, they'd do like this, and finally the one that was real would stand, and the rest of them would sit down.
Uh-huh.
Will the real Miss Jesus Christ please stand up?
Amen.
Right? Amen. There you go. Brother Daniel, how come you're not standing, brother?
Yeah.
Come on. See, will the real Miss Jesus Christ stand up? Will the real you?
Congregation should stand up.
Right? Will the real you
stand up?
Stand up.
That's right.
Amen.
Exactly right.
Will the real you manifest today?
That's exactly right.
Amen. That's what we want to talk about this morning. And so,
God, that's right.
Amen. You know, we know that the real you is not your flesh.
No. Right.
Therefore, it's not the failures you have in the flesh.
Right.
And it's
right.
not the successes you have in your flesh.
Right.
Right?
Right.
The real you is not even your spirit. And when we say spirit, I'm preaching the message, okay? And so Brother Branham said, spirit realm was imagination, conscience, memory, reason, affection. That's how you contact your spiritual home. And so when Satan gets you to think something that's not right, that's not you, right?
Exactly.
When you get rejoicing one day and then you're sad the next day, that's not you.
That's right.
Because that's spirit realm, right?
That's
just how Satan can affect your emotions. I think Wednesday night we talked about how that Saul became... He was anointed, right? And he was so anointed that he began to prophesy. And the people said, well, is Saul one of the prophets? But we find out a little bit later that same spirit man of Saul got anointed with evil spirits. And he wanted to kill David. And he wanted to kill, you understand? And so in the spirit realm, that's really not you. Amen? But the real you is what dwells down in your soul.
That's it.
Right? Down in your soul. And so that's why the prophet could say that you know, in your outer body you have five senses, touch, taste, see, smell, hear. In your spirit realm you have imagination, conscience, memories, and affection. He said, but down in the soul there's one thing or the other. There's either faith or doubt.
Right.
It's either God or it's
right.
not God.
Right.
Right? And so so the real you is the guy that's down there in the soul. And when the scripture said, he that's born of God doth not commit sin, for he cannot sin. And you're like, wait a minute.
Uh-huh.
Right? But he's not talking about your flesh, and he's
that's
not talking
right.
about your spirit realm.
Right.
He's talking about that gene of life that's down in your soul. It's a part of God. It never has sinned. It never will sin. It can't fail. It'll all, right? And so that's the real you, but you didn't know that.
Yeah.
Right? You didn't know that yet. And so, Brother Branham likens us to the tabernacle in the wilderness. We talked about that here the other day, a couple of weeks ago, in length about the tabernacle in the wilderness. And so, the outer court represents your flesh, right? The holy place is your spirit.
Amen.
And then the most holy place, which is where the presence of God is your soul,
right?
And so, We understand that all kinds of priests could minister and do things outside in the outer court, and even a fewer number could come into the holy place. But really, there was only one who could come behind into the holiest of holies, and that was the high priest. And that's where it really mattered, because no matter what happened all year long, if what that high priest did was not accepted, then the rest of it didn't mean anything, yeah. Right? On that day of atonement, he had to be accepted. And if he was, then Israel. And so you see, it's what matters is what's in your soul.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to use that to preach greasy grace, because if God is in your soul, he will affect what happens in your mind, and he will affect what happens in your flesh.
Amen.
Right? There's no question about that.
Right.
And so Brother Branham shows us that. You know, we are, he said, we're in a church trying to make up like God is. We're body, spirit, and soul. But if you look at it, the body is the Gentile. Right? The spirit is a Samaritan. Half Jew, half Gentile. Right? Because it can be spiritually minded and being fleshly minded. Right? But the soul, that's the real Jew, the real worshiper of God, is in your soul. And so he lays those things out like that. And so what we want to talk about this morning is the real you.
Yeah, amen.
Amen?
Yeah.
So we understand here that the end time message that has come to us is to get us to see who we are.
Right.
It is to get us to see who we really are. Mm-hmm. It's to get us to understand it's not our flesh, it's not our spirit, but it's a predestinated seed of God that's down in your soul. And I think recently, maybe here, you talk to so many people and say, you know, that you're not sure who you said things to when you get my age. But, you know, talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, when the Holy Ghost comes on a person, if they don't have that seed gene of God in their soul, all it is just an anointing.
Right?
Right? It can come and go.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
But if there's a gene of God in there, when that comes, it quickens that. It brings it to life. Amen? That's when you begin to realize there's another, like Brother Branham said, there's another William Branham that was down on the inside.
Yeah.
Right? And when you begin to identify with that, that's where God wants us. So God has sent this message today to get us to find out, to realize who we really are.
That's
I think of the scripture when Paul said that we look through a glass darkly, but then face to face, right? We can't see clearly. But there will come a time when we'll be able to see clearly, face to face. And he says, and then at that time, we will know as we are known.
Right?
And I take that to mean that in that day, we'll understand exactly what God knows about us all along. We will know who we are. Amen. And so the end time message is here to bring that, and so that we can identify with who we are in the soul. Now, if that's what you're tied to, it doesn't make a difference what happens in this world, what happens in your flesh.
That's right.
It doesn't matter what kind of tactics Satan tries to throw at your mind.
Uh-huh.
It might get you disoriented for a minute or some period of time, but none of those things can trump what God has inside your soul.
Amen.
Once you are tied to that, these things come, they go, you go through all kinds of trials. Like this church is going through tremendous ones right now. But thank God there's something down inside that holds us.
Amen.
And so we realize that's who I am. That's who you are.
Right?
And so I don't put confidence in these other things.
No.
Because if you do, you're going to be disappointed. They're passing away.
Right?
Yeah. Right? They're passing away. Did you know the office of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it's the Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ, all. But did you know that that baptism of the Holy Ghost is an office? It's an office work of God. Did you know that once you get there, you won't need the Holy Ghost like we have now to lead you and guide you and help you? Because we will pass into another dimension, another realm, and the Spirit of God and everything that you are, it'll be different, right? And so, but here, he sent the Holy Ghost here to move us and to work on us and lead us and guide us.
Right.
So these dispensational changes, things change. You'll still have the Spirit of God, but it's not going to be the same leading you and guiding you like it is, because there's nothing in that realm to help you through. You'll be there. You understand?
Amen.
And so, anyway, we don't want to put confidence in these other things. We put confidence down in the realm where God has done something mighty and placed within us. We believe that's the gene of God. Amen. And so the message is to get us to identify with a realm that can't fail. If I look at my flesh, or I even look at my mind, I disappoint myself.
Sure.
I know I don't have what it takes to meet the mark.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But there's a guy down in there that I know that God has revealed is in there that loves His word, loves God, loves His people, and always believes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
If I can just get surrendered to Him, then it'll make all the difference in the world in our lives. So, we know the scriptures there said we are sons of God. It says, what manner of love that the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? What manner of love that God had for us that He could move and do things in such a way, and that He could look past all the sin and all the things and see everything that was going to happen, and he could say, you know what? I'm going to do something now before the foundation world. I'm going to put something in them that when all this other has come to pass and failed and all that, this will still be there. It was His love that would provide that kind of atonement for us, that He would place a very part of Himself in us, knowing that with a part of Himself in us, we cannot die. That's why I like what the prophet telling about I think Brother Bosworth. He said, you know, when Brother Bosworth was about to pass away, and he said, you know, you're dying. And he said, I cannot die.
Right?
I hope we're coming to that understanding, right? Our flesh might, but we cannot die. How can you die when you have life in you?
Right?
So you know, it's just a change in dwelling places.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
You know, if let's just say that, you know, whoever, we'll say Brother Daniel, he's a minister, so I can pick on him, you know, like we do. Let's just say Brother Daniel, and let's say that he's there in his body, and maybe he's sick and whatever, and it comes to the end of his days. And if this was the norm of life, if all of a sudden there was another body sitting up here that was perfect, Without pain, eternal like that, and if all of a sudden it appeared right here, we could see it, and we'd see Brother Daniel getting weaker, and see him pass away, and yet see him come and fill this body and stand up. Would we weep? We wouldn't weep.
No.
If that was the norm, if that's the way we would, okay, we see it, yeah. Praise God, Brother Daniel's in a body. He'll never have to suffer ever again.
Right.
We would rejoice.
Right.
What's the difference?
Right. Uh-huh.
We don't see it,
yeah.
But the Word of God says it's there.
It's there.
Amen?
Right. It's there.
And so we want to put our confidence and faith in what God has said and done. And so He says we are sons of God. God loves us enough that He would provide that for us, that we could be called the sons of God. But the Scripture said it doth not yet appear. Now, John could say that in his day. Right? But you know there's a time coming where it will appear.
Yeah.
Right? And I believe we're coming to that time. There's coming time. And so he said, does not yet appear, but he says, but we know that when he appears, we're going to be like him. For we shall see him as he is. So now when I just break this down in my canary brain, the way of thinking is that before that time, well, we probably won't recognize him because we've not come to the place where we can recognize him. But by the time this thing unfolds and he comes and begins to appear to us, we're gonna recognize him because we've already recognized what he's done in us, and we now know who we are. And because we can see who we are, we know who he is. Or because we know who he is, we know who we are. Because the revelation of Christ, when it comes forth, his bride comes with it.
Right?
Right? When he reveals himself here just in time, He's revealing who that true bride is.
Yep.
Amen. And we're thankful for that. So the scripture says that every man that hath this hope in himself, or in him, purifieth himself. Every man, what we just read there, right? And we know by the time he appears, we're going to be like him.
Right.
We don't have to worry about it.
Right. No.
We don't have to worry about, as believers, whether or not we're going to see it, whether or not we're going to, you're the very reason he's doing it.
Right. Yeah.
And when he comes and makes himself known, you're going to know it because you're going to see it in you.
Right.
Right?
Right.
If it's the bride coming of Christ, then as he reveals himself as in the coming of Christ, in the bride, then the same revelation has to reveal to you who you are.
Yeah.
And you know, the prophet said that. When the church finally knows who they are, then the rapture,
That's right,
will go.
Yep. Amen.
Not come.
Right.
Because it's rapture cycle that's already in us. It's the rapture cycle that's revealing it.
Yeah, amen.
We say, what is the end time message? It's the rapture.
Right.
What is the end time message? It's a look back to see Christ of all ages, and you see all the plan, and you come up and you see where it is in our day. And so I know where I am. You know where you are. Because you see the plan and you know where it fits.
Yeah.
Right? Amen. And so you know what to expect in your day. And so then as the word is preached, then you realize that word is putting you in that spot where you're manifesting the word for your day.
Amen.
Amen. That's what we trust in.
Right.
But these things I'm talking about goes way beyond flesh.
Yeah.
It goes way beyond emotions.
Right.
Imagination and conscience and memory. This thing that God is doing in our day is taking us right straight to that third realm in behind the holiest of holies. That's why that after when John was carried forth into the day of the Lord and he turned around, looked behind him, was the seven church age. That means that he was right here, he was carried to the, and the very next thing after Brother Branham preached the seven church ages, the very next thing was the seven seals, and the seven seals was come up here, John.
Yeah.
Right? So it's the most holy place that we're talking about that God has ushered us into by this revelation. And as I said the other day, then if it's the most holy place and he's revealed that we're in that day and we're in that hour, then it must be high. We must be the high priest of this day. Christ in us.
That's right.
Bridging the gap
right.
And making the difference to draw, as the prophet said, it take this message, and I'm motioning here behind the holy place, right? This message to resurrect the Lutherans and the Wesleyans and the Pentecostals and all the way down through the ages, right? It takes the high priest going in behind the veil to redeem all the rest. That's why Paul said they can't be made perfect without us.
Right?
It takes this that God is doing right now. It takes God getting us away from fleshly thinking, away from just being caught up in spiritual things, tied to something that was there all along, that was a gene of God that can't fail.
Amen.
That's exactly what he's doing.
Right.
And so, every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself. What do we mean? Because it says because he's pure.
Right.
That if we know he's coming and he's going to reveal himself and he is pure, and by the time he gets here, we will be like him, then we purify ourselves. We let this word clean us, pure, and it gets all this trash off of us and gets us to where we have soul confidence in who we are down in that realm, that third realm.
Right.
That's the realm that Brother Branham said whenever his hardest time, hardest trial, he said every son of God has to be tested and tried.
Amen.
Every one of us.
Right.
Well, a time, and like I said the other day, a time where Brother Branham said, God wouldn't even hear me. He wouldn't even hear my prayer. My dad's laying over there, and and all the things, my brother and my daughter now is dying, and God wouldn't even hear my prayer. Brother Brim said, and so if God wouldn't speak to me, then it was time for Satan to. And you have to realize that as Christians in your walk, you're coming to times, if you haven't already, you'll come to times where it is part of the test. It's part of the trial. Right, Brother Branham said at that time, he said, I didn't know he was testing me, but he was. And we all come to this. that we come to times in our life where things are piling down upon us and it seems like we're going to go under and we can't seem to get a word from God to get us inspiration to pass through it. And it's during those times that Satan comes and he talks. And he begins to speak to you and tell you all these things. And Brother Graham said that those things that Satan was telling him at that time was right. But it was on the realm of reason.
Right.
And he said, if you get on that realm of reason,
right,
he's going to whip you.
Right?
And so when it comes your time, where you know that you've walked with the Lord and you believe you've had an experience with him and yet you're going through a trial and it just seems like you can't get a word from God and Satan's telling you all these things, it's a test, it's a trial. Just give it a little while and you'll come out on the other side.
Right?
Right. Amen.
Yeah, right.
We've got somehow we've got to get to the place where these things that are in the Bible and these things that Brother Graham went through and he taught us and these things, that we begin to be able to recognize how these things are happening in our life. Mm-hmm. How that when Satan comes to someone and tempted and tested and tried, that's the way he comes to us.
Right.
Yeah.
And then so the same, we have to recognize the nature of our battle
and
be overcomers. Mm-hmm. Amen. And so every man that has that hope in him purifies him. Coming to that place where we know that the work of God in us is going to make us like him. That portion that was down in your soul, that was the part that was there before the world was. Amen?
Yeah.
But you come here into this world and you don't remember. We have to hear what the prophet is saying. And we hear him say all the time, he says, you know, you were in your father. He says, one of the great revelations said, well, Levi was in Abraham, his great-great-grandfather, right? And what Abraham did was imputed all the way down to Levi, right? That what the parent does can be a blessing to the child, or what the parent does can be a curse, right? And so, in God's economy, that works. And so I ask you, if you're a son of God, or a daughter of God, then if your parent has done anything righteous, if he's done anything right, anything good, is there any kind of blessing that comes upon you because of who he is? Yeah. Right? It's exactly right. Amen. Your children are blessed because of what you do. Right? So we're blessed because of who our father is. Those things just transfer. God lives by his own word, his own economy. Right? He does. And so that portion that was in you, that you there was before the foundation of the world, but you come into this world and you don't remember it. So he says, you were in your father, but you don't remember it. I don't remember being in my father. I probably don't remember being one. I think I do being two, but I don't remember. You understand that we're blocked from that memory. But we were there.
Right?
We were there. I didn't have the privilege to meet, obviously, my dad, but didn't have the privilege to meet his dad, my grandpa, or his dad, my great-grandpa. But I know, because of the Word of God, I can't even think of his name right now, my great-grandpa, I know that I was in him. Science might say, oh, nonsense. I don't care what science says. I'm preaching the word of God to God's people.
Right.
This is the focus right here.
Right.
In God's economy, we do things the way God says. And we think about it the way God says think about it.
Right.
See? And so, we know that we were there. We come here and we don't remember that place that we come from. Okay? And so that was a thing that was there before the foundation of the world. We came here with spiritual amnesia.
Yeah. Right.
We hear the prophet, and you know, you listen to him preach spiritual amnesia, and he'll talk about these things, and it sounds like, you know, you had to realize he's preaching to the whole world, but he's preaching to a bride.
Sure.
And just like Jesus, when Jesus was preaching to everybody, but his bride, his elect, We catch things out of those parables and those things, and everybody else said, well, I don't know what he's talking about. I think he just said something about me, and he'd be offended. But his elect has seen something there, and it's food, it's meat for them. They rejoice in it. Yeah, right. So the prophet is talking about these things in our day. Amen?
Yeah, right.
And so he says, in spiritual amnesia, it says, you know, the church, you've forgotten who you are. You got to get back to Pentecost, get back to the presence of God, and get, you know, and get back to, you know, and so you understand. So it makes it sound like, well, he's just talking about, you know, a church getting back to the Holy Ghost. And he is. But there's a much greater meaning to that.
Right.
For the bride, there's a much greater level to that.
Right?
Right. And that's what we pick up on.
Yeah.
We pick up on the greater things because he's speaking, you know, as the prophet said, he could write a letter to his wife or she write a letter to him, and they could read between the lines because
right.
there's a relationship there that helps them do that.
Yeah. Right.
And that's what happens. When we have a relationship with God, then when the preacher preaches something, you'll hear him say something that you rejoice in and the guy next to you doesn't.
Yeah.
It's because you have a relationship.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen? And so we know that, but that was the part was there, and you come here with spiritual amnesia, and the prophet in that tells us, and I looked this up, there's some scientific stuff behind this, that some of the times, you know, the things that cause us amnesia, what he mentioned there was being halt between two opinions, that you know, maybe you can't make up your mind, and it can affect you. Look it up scientifically, psychological trauma and things like that can cause you to begin to forget who you are.
Right?
Forget who you are. Forget where you come from. Forget your life. You know, you understand? And it can be just portions of it or whatever. But spiritual amnesia works the same way. And so the prophet's talking about that. He also said that sometimes when you go through a great battle, like soldiers that are off and they go through the trauma of a battle, then they lose. And he tells a story about the soldiers that had come back and they had amnesia and they didn't know, you know, they didn't know what to do with them, or maybe they didn't know where they come from or whatever and couldn't ask because he didn't remember. And
right.
And he tells the story about there's a reason why he's telling these stories.
Right.
It's not just to get people to get back to a Pentecostal environment, which is great, but it's much greater, right? He tells that this soldier, what's happened? He's been in a great battle.
Yeah.
And that battle has caused him some trauma.
Yeah.
And now he doesn't remember who he is, where he's from, what he doesn't, right?
Yeah,
this right. Bible is the only book that will tell you where you come from, why you're here, and where you're going. And he's forgotten.
Right.
Right? Spiritual amnesia will make you forget this right here.
Yeah.
And the church has been through that. Amen? Rest assured, Satan will make sure of that you won't remember these things. But the prophet's saying that one thing that you can do is when you get that person around familiar surroundings, get them around things that they were familiar with, maybe a place or an event or something like that. And sometimes it'll cause that connection, it'll cause them to forget. He tells the story about they stop the train with the soldiers, and one of them gets off, they're resting, and he sees this one begin to walk off. Like he's like, I wonder what he's doing. You know the story. He wanders off down a pathway through the woods and comes up to a cabin, and an old man comes out on the cabin and said, oh, my son, I knew you'd return.
Yeah.
See, he'd gotten around the familiar place of where he'd been, and what the prophet was trying to tell the church, you know, that get back to the presence of God, to healings and miracles and all the things and deliverance. Get back, get around that environment, and it'll start to shake that thing off of you. But what I want to tell you is that for the bride of Jesus Christ, it's a much greater level than that is, and that is to get you to understand where you come from.
Right.
From that realm in your soul where it come from.
Man.
To get you to remember that. Because you come here, you don't know. You don't remember what was there.
Yeah. Right.
But he wants you, and so he's going to get you around familiar surroundings. Mm-hmm. Perhaps there was a great battle there.
Yeah.
that cause us to come here and not remember these things, right? You think what the prophet is saying there, a great battle in heaven and all the things and how that fell on man, right? So we can see those things. And so getting us around familiar surrounding. And so this end time message is to bring us around to familiar surroundings, familiar events, familiar things, familiar word. Right? Familiar word that we once, because if you never experienced it before, then it's not going to bring you back around if you get around it. That's why the word redeem means to bring back. Brother Brown said, I think it's marriage and divorce, or maybe it was, who is this, Melchizedek, I think. He said, predestination, the predestinated is the only ones considered in redemption. He said, let me say that again. Predestination is predestined is the only one considered a redemption because it means to bring back.
Right.
So if we've been there, if we've experienced some things there and we come here and we don't remember it, then if God can get us back around to some of that, if God can get us around in the presence of some of that word that declares that, then we begin to realize who we are. The spiritual amnesia leaves us. Amen? That's what I believe this message is doing to me. And I believe it'll do it for you too. Probably most of you believe that already. But if you don't, I want you to understand. These are godly Bible concepts that are true. And so, getting us around these familiar surroundings will help us remember who we are. So, not just getting us to experience joy in the flesh. Not just, right? Not even getting us to into a Pentecostal or a spiritual baptism, whatever, environment. Right? But getting us into the familiar surroundings of the soul. Of that gene of life, of that which took place before the world was. You know, Jesus said, all of the Father hath given me will come to me.
Right.
How did the Father give them? We know that not everybody's saved, right? Not everybody's saved. Right. So there's some that the Father did not give to Jesus. But how did God give when Jesus said, all of the Father's given me? Well, how did the Father give him those that he had given him? Gave him in his word. Part of him. In other words, let me say this. All those before the foundation world that God looked down through time and said, I'm going to do something that'll fix the whole thing. All those that God put a gene of himself in them, predestinated, they'll come. And I'll not lose a one. Right? But I'll raise them up at the last day. Not lose a one.
Right.
Amen. Brother Bram talked about whenever, you know, going through that trial, and he said, when all everything broke away, and if you get in that realm of reason, all your mental trying to be a son of God and all that you can, it'll tear it away. It'll all break away.
Right.
But Brother Bram said, but when all that broke away, and it come to the soul, and he said, oh, thank God it was there.
Yeah.
What if it had not been there?
Right.
That's what held. He said, did your religion hold you? He said, no. Or did you hold your religion? He said, no, it held me.
Right.
Right. That's where we have to come to. Mm-hmm. It's not, Brother Ben said, it wasn't me holding on, it's him holding on.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So when you come to that thing that can't fail, right? That to me has to be what we could attribute to the fact that people could happily walk up and give their lives in martyrdom. Had to be something strong enough to go beyond the fears of the flesh and of the mind into something that was solid, rock solid. Amen. And so, getting us back to something from the beginning could make those things. And so, God asked Job there, he said, Job, where was you? Job got a little bit, I'll say it this way, and you forgive me if I, but he got a little bit mouthy or whatever, just a little bit saying things and really didn't know what he was talking about. Maybe, you know, and we have a tendency, people can do that. We can do that, you know. And really, so Job was God, he was wrestling in himself. And rightfully so, he was going through a tremendous thing, you know. But he was wrestling with the program of God for his life. So God had these events that he allowed to come. Right? He allowed him to come to him. And Job, because of it, and he was wrestling and struggling with that, and yet he wasn't unrighteous or a sinner or something like that, but he just, you know, and so he finally gets to the place where God kind of sets him in his place there, you know, and says, hey, who is this that's saying all this stuff and you don't even know what you're talking about?
Yeah.
You stand up, gird your, you know, stand. I'm going to ask you some questions and you answer me. If you're so high and mighty, you tell me. And that's the way I think God should do us sometimes. When we're going through stuff and we have our opinions and we try to, you know, and it's this and that or whatever. And sometimes then God says, wait a minute, just hush up. I'm going to ask you some questions if you know so much about it.
Yeah.
We have to come to the place where we know he is God.
Right.
And he knows what he's
right.
doing.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Amen. Tells Job, you know, if you're so... You know, and to me, this is what ended it all. This is what finished it all for Job. This revelation.
Right.
Right? When he come to this, where he finally went through all the trials and struggles and all the church ages and finally got to the end where God gave him this revelation. Where, you know, where Job says, I know my Redeemer liveth. Right?
Right.
And though the skin worms will, you know, eat me up, I'll see him.
Yeah.
I'll stand there.
Yeah.
Right? But God says, where were you? And this is part of the revelation to come to grips with knowing that God is God and he's sovereign and to be still and know that he's God and he knows what he's doing in your life and he's not going to let you, there is no cracks for you to fall through in his program.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to take care of you. But we all had come to that place and stand there and realize, I'm a child of God, and no matter what I'm going through, I know I'm his, I belong to him, I'm looking to him, and he wants to take me to the fire, I'll go through it with it as he would want me to. And when he says the trial is over, then it's over.
Yeah.
Right? But we come to this place in Revelation where we are tied to that soul realm, to that gene of God that was there before the foundation of the world, that God is now revealing to us. So we understand who we are.
Yeah.
Amen. And so Job come to that spot there where God says, where were you? Because he wants you to understand. You know what? You know, the answer is, Job, you were one of those.
Mm-hmm.
You were one of those sons that shouted for joy. You just didn't know it.
Yeah.
And sometimes people say, all high and mighty, but God always knows how to set you down and say, you don't really know what you're talking about. There's always, you know, the scripture said, if any man thinks he knows something, he knows nothing at all.
Yeah. Right.
What does that mean? It doesn't mean you don't grow in knowledge. But if you ever get to the place where you think you know it, there's always realms. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and I said, millions and millions, infinite layers to the Word of God, to the revelation. It can go as deep as you want. Right? Some people pretty just simple thing, that's fine. But there are people with ministries and so forth that they can go way out and you'll never cease those levels because it's eternal life. It's infinite. Amen.
Right.
And so God wants to expose us to some of the things that happened there so we begin to realize who we are. This is not just to get us back just to Pentecost. Not just to get us back to the upper room. Right?
Right.
But to get us back to that condition, that place, connected to that being that Brother Bram said that God take a picture of you and put it in his little album. And he said, nothing will ever mar that image.
Right.
Nothing. Nothing will ever mar that image. You know, Brother Bram tells us in a sermon called The Messiah, He says that, you know, we are made, the scripture tells us, we are made in the image of God. Mm-hmm. Now think about that. We're made in the image of God. The animals didn't get that. The fish didn't get that. The birds didn't get that. Right? But man is made in the image of God. And, you know, I've said many times here, you know, when I first was saying, when Moses asked to see God, and Brother Ben said, you know, he passed by and he saw the back of a man. And I said, well, how did he know it was? Why would we, you know? Well, because if a man walks by and you know what a man is, you walk by, he said, that's a man, because I know what a man is. Right? I know when he walked by. And if it was a dog, I'd say, well, that's a dog. That's not a man. And so, you know, it was when God passed by, he was in the image of a man.
Right.
And rightfully so, because we are made in that image. So God has, spiritually speaking, if you can understand, God has hands, he has feet, he has arms, he has a head, he has eyes, he has, right?
Right.
But how far does that go? If we were made in God's image, you know, that doesn't just mean that we physically have all just the physical makeup, but that means that even beyond that,
right,
to have emotions. Do you know God has emotions, right? He can be angry,
right?
Right? And so those things can change like the wind can blow or whatever with us. And so, but we're made in his image, not just flesh, but it goes in the spirit realm, and it doesn't stop with just spirit realm. But it goes all the way into the rock solid being of who God is. That we're made, there's something in us that's him.
Right.
More than flesh.
Yeah.
More than spirit. Right?
Right.
Word. Word being made manifest in flesh like he was made in flesh.
Yeah.
Now, there's no difference. Remember how Brother Bam said in Invisible Union of Bride of Christ, and he says that, that when God got ready to find this bride, he said a perfect type of this in the scriptures where Abraham sent Eliezer to go find a wife for Isaac. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, there's a story. And Brother Ben said that's a perfect type of the two books, the book of life and the Lamb's book of life. What looks like two books, but it's really one book and a section of the book. And so, these books of life, or book of life. It's a perfect type of that. So when he would get ready, Abraham would get ready to find a wife for Isaac, he didn't send Eliezer out to where he was at, where he had come to. He sent Eliezer back to the same place that Isaac come from, that he come from. He said, go back there. And so you understand that when God would try to find the bride of Christ, he would not look for churches, denominations, not look for flesh and spiritual and stuff like that. He would look, he would go back to the same place Jesus come from.
Yeah. Right.
And so if Jesus was the word that come from God, then so is she. And so when she, that portion of God, he looked down and he said, I'm gonna settle it right now. By predestination, I'm placing that seed gene in their lives, and when they come,
right,
they'll come to that revelation of what's in them, right?
Right.
So you put that in there, and so when he goes to find a bride for Jesus Christ, he goes right to that.
Right.
That gene, that word that was placed there all along, that's not flesh, not spirit, but soul.
Right. Amen.
Goes to that.
Yep.
Amen. And that's the two books of life, because there's a book of life that records all of your deeds, but that's not where he went to find it.
No.
He didn't go there to find a bride there. He went to the Lamb's book of life.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Your marriage certificate, the record before God.
Amen.
How do we know that you're married to Christ? Because the Lamb's book of life is a marriage certificate that says that you belong to Jesus Christ. You're his wife. And that's not something that happened in flesh, not something in spirit. That's something that had tied into the soul, come from God from the very beginning. And that's
right.
The thing that God was saying to Job, where were you?
Yeah.
Where were you, Job? If all this stuff's got y'all bewildered or whatever, where were you? Because the answer is you were right there. This is why you're going through these things, Job, because you were right there. You come from the mouth of God just like Jesus Christ come from the mouth of God. And there you are.
Amen.
You were one of those. All the sons shouted for joy. Every one of them shouting.
Amen.
That means there ain't going to be one over here that wasn't shouting. I want to ask you a question. How important is it for us, for this end time message, to get us back into the presence of that? How important is it? I'll tell you. Whatever made us shout there will make us shout here.
Right?
The word just has to get us into the presence of that message, of that understanding, that spiritual revelation. Just get in that presence of that revelation, it'll make all the difference in the world. We'll shout. We'll rejoice.
Right.
Why? Because we're tied to that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Not the trials, not the troubles, not all that. Good days, bad days, not that.
Right.
But something down inside that says, I don't care what it is that's going on, I belong to God. I'm part of Him. I'm the Word made flesh for my day. When the prophet was saying that, going over to find the revivals who... Where is this Welsh revival? The policeman said, I am.
Yep,
I'm that revival.
Right.
Where's the message at? I'm the message. You're the message.
Amen.
Right? What is that message? Then God had people from the foundation of the world that's part of Him that cannot fail. Because she's ordained of God not to fail. She's ordained of God not to do what Eve did.
Right. Amen.
Amen?
Yep.
You know what? When the scripture said everything in Him is yea and amen.
Amen.
Brother, sister, if there was ever a time that we could say yay and amen, it's right now.
Right.
Amen. As these things are coming forth to us. Amen. So, Brother Ram tells us in this sermon called Messiah, we were made to be anointed ones, made to be messiahs, or little messiahs. Amen. Or Christ. Amen. God has hands, feet. We were made in that image. Right? And so, let me just read this. We're almost done, I think. The Messiah. Now, in Isaiah 9:6, he was to be the everlasting Father, the mighty God. When God made man, in Genesis 1:26, it shows that God made man to be a God to begin with. He put us here to be God to begin with.
Amen.
You say, but the fall happened. Well, it don't make no difference. Right? It doesn't make any difference. God still intended for us to be, right? To be gods.
Right.
God made man to be a God to begin with. Man was made to be a God, a lesser God. He was made in the image of God, in the likeness of God. He has hands like God, feet like God, ears like God, and intelligence like God. His whole fiber because he's the Son of God. Right? So I wasn't just talking to myself. Right?
Right.
His whole fiber, everything about us, an image of God.
Yeah. Yeah,
not just flesh, spirit, but soul.
Right.
Amen. Jesus referred to him as God. Jesus said, how can you condemn me saying I'm a son of God? Isn't it written in your law that you are gods? And if they call those gods to whom the word came to, how can you condemn me when I say I'm the Son of God?
Right.
And he said he was referring to prophets, which he was, because they were the ones the word come to. But isn't the word come to us?
Yes, amen.
Right?
Absolutely.
Amen? He was referring to the prophets, the anointed ones.
Right. Amen.
See, Christ was the anointed one, but there are many Christs, little Christ. They are anointed ones too. Prophets, but not just prophets. How about his bride? Right? So he was referring to prophets, the anointed ones, lesser anointed. Jesus was so anointed that he was more than a prophet. Jesus was so anointed that he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He was God.
Right. God.
And the prophets had the same kind of anointing, only a lesser condition.
Right.
But it's the same. Remember? Take a little cup of water out of the ocean. Same thing that's in the ocean. Same minerals, same everything that's in the ocean.
Right.
Just not as much.
Yep.
What does he mean when he's telling us all that? Right? Because he wants you to understand that you are intended to be a God, to be gods, to be messiahs, to be anointed ones. Amen. So in Genesis 1:26, when God made man, he made him a god because he gave him a dominion and a rulership. Right? He had a domain. He had power over the birds, over the air, over the cattle, over the winds, the waves, the fish, or the sea, everything. He had dominion over everything. He was a ruler, anointed, an anointed ruler. Because he was in the likeness and the image of God with an earthly domain. That's why the Bible says, you ready? That's why the Bible says that the earth is groaning, crying, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God.
Exactly right.
Think about it.
Right.
These tornadoes that are ripping through this time of year, that's all, like the scripture said, waves, raging seas, waves foaming out their own shame because they're ashamed that man let this go. But God's bringing it back and redeeming it back. And this earth is groaning, designed for the sons of God to come to manifestation. What? For the sons of God to come to this revelation and begin to stand up and be that real bride of Christ, that real sons of God. That's what it's groaning for. Amen? Waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The world is waiting for man to come back to his right estate. Amen. And now he's made in the image and likeness of God. And when God made him, God gave him some of his spirit, a part of his life, and he's in the likeness and image of God. Therefore, man, in his natural condition, you say, well, we had a fall, but it didn't matter. In our natural condition, there's an element about us that still represents God. So man is natural condition. The way we are now, you can see that we are much more than animals like they try to say we are. We are more.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Because man in his fallen state, yet being fallen son of God, he can still better himself. He has intelligence. He can build himself a better house, living condition. He can make himself a better travel condition. He can speed himself up through the air now at 1,900 miles an hour in a plane or a jet. Or a jet plane or a rocket. Right?
Right.
Because God made us to be rulers.
Yeah.
To rule this earth. This earth.
Right. Yep. Right.
Animals. Spirits. Right?
Right.
God made us to rule over those things.
Yep. That's right.
To made us to be anointed ones.
Amen.
Anointed with his spirit.
Right.
Made us to be Christ's.
Right.
Made us to be messiahs. Little messiahs. Messiahettes. Right. Like in a female form. That's what he made us to be.
Right.
So to begin with, God made us to be in that condition.
Yep.
But the fall happened. It doesn't matter. We came anyhow. That's what the prophet said. We came anyhow. Why? Because Jesus Christ purchased back what we lost. Right?
Right.
Jesus purchased back the abstract title deed.
Yep.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
Brother Bam's the only preacher. I'd never heard anybody else talk about that until he come along. The abstract title deed. The abstract meaning it was searched all the way back. Listen, it wasn't just search, you know, to the beginning when you were born. It wasn't. He didn't search just all the way back to the upper room. See, for an abstract to strike off anything and make sure there's no claims, in order for the Lord to have purchased our redemption so Satan could have no claims on us, he had to go all and search and go all the way back and take care of every claim that was there all the way back. How far back? All the way back to the mind of God where it started with him in the first place.
Right.
That's where it went.
Right.
Amen? So he searched all the way back. Way, all the way back to that which is in our soul. Thank the Lord. Abstract. Title. The rightful owner. That's what the title is. It says who the rightful owner is.
Yeah.
So Jesus went all the way back, struck everything off, and made sure that Satan had nothing, and he got that title.
Yes. Yep. Amen.
Right?
Right.
Satan has no claim on it anymore. No way he can touch it.
That's right.
Abstract title. to us, abstract title deed, gave it back to the one it had in the first place, the redeemed.
Right.
Took us back to where we were to begin with, back to the redeemed. That's why Brother Branham could speak the word. It was manifest in our day to show us, how would we know that God has given that back to us? When a man born in sin, shaped in iniquity, that the program of God could work in his life and bring him to such a place that he could stand there like Adam and speak. As we read there just a little while ago, he said he could, over the birds, the cattle, the winds, the waves, the fish.
Right.
Now how many would we see? Speak to a bull? Speak to a fish? Right? Speak to hornets that were flying.
Yep.
Isn't that what Adam did?
Right.
Speak to the weather.
Yep, exactly.
These things happen. And you'd have to just flat out just walk away and deny this message. But if you accept the message, these things happen, you have to say, what on earth was God doing?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And what God was doing was demonstrating for you and I. The abstract title deed is bringing back to us
right. What
we lost in the first place.
Right.
And it was in that place up there when Brother Graham would speak to that storm like that, showing that he had, that God, it was demonstrating
Amen. In
him. Then that's when he was walking along and he saw himself young again.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw his wife.
Right.
Rapture.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Right.
Amen. Showing that this abstract title deed was back with man again. You know, I said the other day that we don't have, Brother Brandon tells us, we don't have power, but we have authority.
Right?
Mm-hmm. And he gives the example of the policeman, little bitty policeman with a hat pulled down over his head,
mm-hmm.
and he says, this is a little bitty guy. See, he doesn't have enough power to stop a bicycle. We're in this ridiculous age where people are feeding on all this superpower, Superman, super this, and they come out there and they stop a semi. There's no such thing.
Right, exactly.
So feed on that stuff, rot your brain. Get back to the reality of where it really is.
Exactly.
We don't have power,
right. But
we do have authority because we're representing one who gave us.
Exactly.
That authority.
Amen.
The one who gave us that authority, he has the power to stop a locomotive.
All right. Amen.
That's why these things, that's the parallels, right? That's why that Satan has to come along with all that nonsense to fry people's brains so that when you say that Christ can heal, it means nothing to them because they've seen stuff better than that in the movie.
Right.
Think it's okay to watch it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
That's right. Amen. Authority can only be granted by the author. Authority.
Amen. That's right.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Amen.
Who is the author? Right.
Hallelujah.
And he has the right to grant authority to who he will. He is the one. No one else can do it. So he has a right to grant to us access to that abstract title deed. Amen. We're thankful for that. Therefore, if he has purchased it, and he has proven in our day that it's back with man, abstract title deed is back with man, speak to the storms, you know, animal, whatever. When that time comes and we understand there's a right motive, objective, and environment, how all that stuff unfolds. Can't just decide you're going to do it. But it's a life and a nature and a presence and that can unfold. And at the moments when it happens, inspiration can strike and you understand.
Amen.
Right? Amen?
Right.
So if it's been brought back to us and proven that it's here, then it's not robbery to claim it. It's not robbery at all to claim it. It's not robbery to exercise it.
Right.
It's not robbery to express it.
Right.
Because it's given to you.
Yes.
Now, if I take something that's not mine, that's robbery.
Right.
But if it's given to me by the one who owns it,
yep, hallelujah.
Right? When he gives that to you, now you have, it's yours. And then it's not robbery to take that and use it.
Right.
Right?
Amen.
And even Paul said that in his day when he didn't see everything clearly yet. But even Paul said, let this mind be in you. Which was in Christ Jesus.
Right.
Who being in the form of God,
right,
thought it not robbery to be equal with God.
Well, amen.
Amen.
Right.
But humbled himself, became obedient. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to miss that part.
Right.
To humble ourselves and become obedient, even to death, the death of the cross.
Right.
If that's what we have to go through,
yeah.
So be it. Humble ourselves, be obedient even to the death of the cross. In other words, the most hideous, torturous thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Let that mind be in you to know, hey, I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God.
Right.
Right? And ain't nothing can stop that. No matter what I go through, nothing can stop that. And I will walk and I will express and I will be the anointed Messiah. Small Messiah, I will be that for my day. And you know, we didn't read, I think it's maybe just a scripture or two before that, was like, hey, you're a son of God, and therefore the world don't know you. Because he was, and they didn't know him.
Right.
This world is not our home. We're just passing through. So let this mind be in you. And let me end by saying this. When we have a military, and I would hope that they do what I'm fixing to say. Nowadays, you don't know, because we've been sold down the river by wicked politicians. But I would hope that our military would hear that if there was an army approaching the mainland, I would hope that our military would not wait for them to get here to decide to do something. I would hope that they would rise up and go meet it. I know, what are we talking about here? So well, you know what? I have a job to do. I have a job to protect this nation. I'm talking about them. I have a job to do. And when we see that threat coming, to just take that commission, that authority that we have from the United States government that says you deal with it. You go do it. To take that and rise up with an indignation, and how dare you come and go out there and meet that enemy on his ground and disperse it. Dispatch it, whatever you want to say.
Right.
So I say that, what about us as believers? And Satan comes at us with things. Right? Who are we?
Right?
Right? Who are we?
That's right.
And we let him just come right in on our ground. We see him coming. Why don't we be like David and run to meet those Goliaths?
Right.
Rather than just sitting around and waiting.
Right.
You see what I mean?
Right. Amen.
Will the real you? That's my thought this morning.
Amen.
The real you. Stand up. Brother Ram, I forget the way he said it, but I heard him say the other day, he said, I'm hoping, you know, before his departure, I'm hoping that there will be a people, that God will just have so much in their life that they'll stand up and they will manifest what they're supposed to. Right? Not just one man. Not just a few ministers here and there. But the entire body of Christ.
Amen.
Let's let the musicians come. May the Lord bless you. We'll bow our hearts to pray. Lord Jesus, I just want to tell you, Lord, that I so love you and love your word. Lord, it's sometimes just so astounding to see how that you have brought all these things together, and your scriptures have come together, and Lord, you're just showing it to be real and true, and that you have a people here on this earth that's just walking right in this pathway, Lord, that you're revealing these things to and through. We love you, Lord, and I pray, God, that you would touch each person here that hears, has heard this today, will hear, and I pray, God, that you touch their mind. And Lord, not just have an intellectual understanding, Lord, but may it be a revelation down in their heart that they were made to be rulers over this earth. And Lord, that you have purchased back the authority for us to stand in our position now. I pray, God, that it be a revelation to each one. Lord, may they meditate on it. And Lord, you reveal it to them in a way that cannot be done by man. It can only be done by you. Lord, we realize that we're approaching that time right now. We look at the world conditions and we just don't see how it could go much further, Lord. We will abide here however long you want us to, Lord. But we're looking at it, we're saying, God, we've come to that place where we're like John. And we're saying, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. We love you, Lord. And ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand this morning. I just want to tell you, if you feel like you're struggling with this, struggling with what God is, you're like, Brother Tony, I want this. If you struggle with it, we'd be happy to pray with you. If you say, Brother Tony, I want to be able to meet that enemy like that. I'm tired of him coming like he does, and next thing I know, I'm bewildered. I don't know which way to turn because he's all around me all of a sudden. Amen. Lord, you know, I want to be like the ministers, a watchman on the wall. You want to, over your family, you want to be able to see, and you want to be able to be more proactive. we'll pray with you. I know me and Brother Danny will be happy. Because God's got this for you. Amen. I don't know anything else to preach but this message.
That's right.
I don't know. If I'm the last person standing, I don't know. Because I know when I come up through Pentecost, and I know the questions I had, the hunger I had, and they couldn't answer it. I stood right back in that back there, and a powerful man in Pentecost with gift of prophecy and was accurate. And I would ask him, and he said, he couldn't answer the question. It's just a hunger. What I'm saying is,
right.
And yet I come to this message, and it answers all those questions.
That's right.
Amen?
Yeah, that's right.
If you want God, you want God in what He's doing today, you can have it. Amen. But you have to settle it in your mind. I'm His. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you. We'll sing this again. If anybody has prayer, need a prayer, we'll be